You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of August 22nd, 2017, and episode number 327. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. What a weekend. Let me tell you what, extended weekend with Monday. And if you tuned in early before the show started live, you heard Bark at the Moon by Ozzy Osbourne. Well, it was one of the big songs that was played pretty much all day yesterday. And Ozzy sung this live at an event called Moonstock in Caterville, Illinois, yesterday afternoon, right when the sun was eclipsed by the moon. A cool event. And I got some links to some videos on that, which really shows you what happened. And if you saw the eclipse, no matter how you saw it, a welder's mask or with those fancy schmancy glasses that everybody seemed to not have. I don't know. They've been selling them for months, giving them away for free at libraries. You should have had them. If you saw the eclipse, let me know. Go into the chat room and I don't know. Let me know your experience. And, I'm going to talk about mine here in a second. Did some traveling over the weekend and also Saturday did some traveling. We'll talk about that here in a second. But tonight, yes, we're going to talk the Great American Eclipse Aftermath. We're going to talk citizen scientists, what happened and what didn't happen during the eclipse. We'll also mention Hopkinsville, Kentucky, that had double treats on Monday. And we're also going to talk more reports flowing in on the Chicago Phantom and Expedia. You know Expedia, the travel website thingy-majiggy. Well, they're going to offer some travel to search for cryptids. That's an interesting story. We'll also have the book of the week on the freeways, sort of. UFO invasions. I heard about that. Paranormal locations. We're going to become more focused. All sorts of things I've been reading about, seeing on Facebook, social media, Twitter, everywhere. People talking about all these things that were going to happen. But you know what? I think it was a good break from the cycle of anger and hate that's been floating over the country, just like this eclipse did. And just for that afternoon in the United States, it seemed like everyone was focused and agreeing on one thing. The Great American Eclipse was something that everyone wanted to witness. Granted, there was already posts of reported sightings of Nibiru. I'm sure you know what Nibiru is, the supposed hidden planet that's going to come and take us out one day that no one's going to see coming. How that's possible. There's already UFO sightings being talked about. Most of which are lens flares or misidentifications or hoaxes. All sorts of weird stuff. And just want to let you know right now that you're tuned into WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com, listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian T. Parsons. Now, in case you missed it, last night, Monday night, was the Crypto Kid radio show hosted by Colin Schneider. And he had Ken Gerhard last night. Kind of missed that. I was on the road, so I kind of missed it. But I'll make it up here. I'll listen to the archive. Ken's a great guy. Great, solid researcher. So, yeah, when I get around to it, I'll catch up on that show. And he'll have Chad Lewis next week. And you can catch Crypto Kid every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And tomorrow night, Wednesday night, you can catch Paranormal Experience with Kat Hobson as she talks with famed UFO researcher Stanton Friedman. Great interview. That guy is so easy to interview. He just talks and talks. I've had the pleasure twice to interview him. Great guy. Yeah, that's Paranormal Experience host Kat Hobson tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, Wednesday night. Again, right here on WCJVRadio.com. And don't forget, mark this on your calendar, Thursday, September 7th, the debut of Arcane Radio with Sean Fork, Butch Witkowski, and Lon Strickler. With they're going to have guest Timothy Renner, the author, researcher on cryptids, man, Bigfoot. That's going to be 10 p.m. Eastern, so stay tuned for that. It's going to be great. So, yeah, eclipse. So, after work on Sunday, I headed down to Cincinnati, Ohio, and went to camping, actually, and I'd swim in the pool, I hang out. Wasn't too bad. It's traffic problems. I didn't expect on a Sunday night some crashes and construction, but nothing major. So I kind of was gauging where I was going to go. Got up early and looking at cloud cover, decided I'm just going to head to Franklin. Franklin is pretty much south. You just take 271 to essentially Louisville, Kentucky, and then 65 straight south, right down to Franklin. I knew there was a lot of construction, but I was kind of hoping that I would get there a little early. I actually gave myself 3.5 hours extra time to get there, thinking that, okay, got plenty of time to get down there to see the eclipse. The looked like cloud cover was going to be good. So quite a gamble. Got on the road pretty early and hit Cincinnati. Cincinnati was kind of backed up with all sorts of construction everywhere. Found out that the bridge going over the Ohio River was closed. So we got diverted. I had to take 471 all the way out of my way to 275. Familiar with that area. It's kind of out of the way. And kind of backtracked. So I lost about 45 minutes of the whole process, along with a lot of other traffic issues. Headed my way south. It was pretty slow. Touch and go all the way down. Louisville was backed up all the way outside of Louisville. And then from there, that's kind of a southwest angle. Then you head straight south on 65. And right out of Louisville, it was just bumper to bumper traffic. Four lanes of highway creeping along at 5 miles an hour. And I just saw my time dropping and dropping and dropping. And it really didn't look like I was going to make it at all. And about 90 miles out, I only had less than 2 hours really till the big event. And at that point, I was almost ready just to call it quits and just pull and find spot to watch the partial eclipse. I was only maybe about 97-98% in totality, but not quite good enough to observe without glasses. And I was kind of giving up hope and pulled up my phone, used GPS in my car. You just pull up the phone, and the lady was yelling at me, telling me, why are you still on the freeway? Traffic is going too slow. Go this way. So I got off the freeway and kind of backtracked a little bit, zooming, zipping around these back roads. 31 kind of was going along with 65, kind of missed some of these. I got back on the freeway right around the Mammoth Caves area, and I saw the freeway, still kind of thinking, well, you know, this is it. I don't really have the time. I'm down to, like, I think at that time I was around 70 miles and had just over an hour. So really running out of time. I did not want to get stuck on the freeway, having to watch the eclipse, kind of trying to crank and look up. I don't want to pull over. It's just going to be meddling on the freeway. Did not deal with that whatsoever. So kind of looking and trying to figure out what I was going to do. I mean, it was kind of frustrating, but it was a logistical thrill for me. I like to figure this out. And looking at the time and speed, and I decided, you know what? This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. What if I'm not around for the next one? So I just jumped on the freeway and put the hammer down, as they say, cranked up some Ozzy Osbourne, Mark at the Moon, and made my way, driving 75 miles an hour on a 70-mile-an-hour road, just trying to make it. And my goal was at Franklin, Kentucky. Had a couple of different areas picked out just in case it was too packed down there. And went by one stop. It looked pretty packed. And decided to keep pushing on to the next exit. Had about 25 minutes So I got off of the exit, and as I was getting off, I looked around and saw some empty areas next to, I believe it was the Days Inn, or I know there was Holiday Inn Express and something else next to it, and I saw some parking spots at least, and I thought, well, that's good, because I planned on going to a restaurant around back and have maybe a little bit of area to stretch out, but saw an area, I only had 20 minutes really to get kind of situated, so found a spot, lo and behold, it was clear skies, no clouds, no, I know, you could feel the energy, everyone was hyped, everyone was amped, they were all ready for this, and at this point, now I was in Central Time, so part of my journey was also, I mean, it's only an hour, but I was in Eastern Time up until maybe 20 miles out. Then there was a sign on the side of the road. This is kind of cool. A sign on the side of the road that said, entering Central Time. As soon as I hit that, my GPS had a message and my time traveled. So I went back in time, which was kind of cool. And 12 o'clock Central, the partial eclipse started. So I'd already kind of lost an hour of the eclipse, more or less, but nothing really major. Just a little bit of a dimming, and it looked kind of funny outside. Just a little, like I said, like dim, like you're wearing light sunglasses on. It was kind of eerie, creepy. So I put on my glasses, I look up, and you can tell that the moon is pretty much 90% across already at this point, with 20 minutes left. Quite the vision, quite the sight. And it was the exciting thing, building up and anticipation, and I'll tell you, I was kind of exhausted from traveling for 7.5 hours for a 4-hour trip. So a lot of traffic, a lot of construction. I just lucked out. Luckily, I left the right time in the morning and gave myself enough time, barely enough time to get there. Could have been a logistical nightmare, but I made it work, got there in time, and it was 1:27 p.m. Central Time is when this was supposed to happen, and just as my watch clicked, looking up at the same time, and it was just a few seconds after, through my glasses, the sun disappeared. I heard a cheer all around me, and I pulled off my glasses, and it wasn't dark, but it was the sky was very dark blue, and all around us, 360 degrees, it looked like the sun had set. It was orange in the sky, light, little light blue, then it kind of got darker as you looked out toward where the sun was supposed to be. And where the sun was supposed to be, it's a black dot. It's got floating around that was the corona just kind of glowing in the sky. And it's a little light blue around that, but then, like I said, it got a little darker. All I could see was a couple planets, Venus and Jupiter were visible, really nothing else. Not a whole lot of stars. I think part of that issue is that for us, it was right in the afternoon. So if you were out, out in Oregon or out in the Caribbean late on, toward the end of this whole thing, that, you probably saw a little bit more as far as stars, but, I didn't care. It was, breathtaking. It was beautiful. And it was actually very emotional to see this, just to know that, you know, I made this travel, made this journey. And it all paid off. No clouds. Looking straight up at this thing, just seeing this blackness in the sky, and people were ooing and eyeing, trucks were honking horns on the freeway, and all the lights on all the hotels and food places around the exit there, all the lights came on, and it was kind of cool. It was nighttime during the day, or at least dusk, necessarily darkness, like a lot of people claim that it's gonna. It was still, I mean, it was just beautiful to see, and it was breathtaking. And I tried taking some pictures, but my settings that I had, I was guessing that it was gonna be the same ones that I used when I took pictures of the moon, but it didn't quite work out. And I was trying to fiddle with my camera, and I said, you know what? I don't care. I'm gonna see a million pictures. Everyone else is gonna take pictures. I'm just gonna sit here and look at this, and it just. It was one of those things where you just said, you know what, I don't care. I just want to enjoy this for me, not have to brag about it on Facebook. I read something, somebody had said that they traveled like 1,000 miles just to take a picture. thinking, you travel that far for a picture? And I traveled this far for the personal experience. It was worth it, what I had to go through to get down there. Now, once it was over, I was, you know, watching this, the moon just hovering there. Then all of a sudden, you could see the sun creeping out, and there was that, you know, they call it the diamond ring, you know, the flash. It's just this brilliant white flash, pure white, just like somebody shining a very bright flashlight in your face, or the lights you get at the dentist or doctor's office from the bright, pure white lights erupting in the sky, and it was beautiful. And that was another cheer. Everyone let out a cheer for that. It's hard to explain. It's really hard to put into words. It was an emotional thing, more or less. It was just beautiful to experience. And if you didn't get to see the total eclipse, hopefully at least you got to saw the partial. You had glasses or some way to dim it out. I know it's not the same thing. But that was still pretty cool to watch that for the first 20 minutes that I was there to see it disappear. And, you know, you're looking through the glasses, all you're supposed to see is the sun. I saw the sun disappear. So that's pretty neat to see that. Now, you know, I mentioned Woodstock, Southern Illinois. They were listening to Ozzy Osbourne live, Bark at the Moon. And the total eclipse took place during that song. That would have been really cool. Maybe you were on the cruise that I mentioned, out in the Caribbean, listening to Bonnie Tyler sing Total Eclipse of the Heart. I don't think I'd jump off the ship. It was an okay song. And I could tell you, I heard Bark at the Moon on the way to my destination, Kentucky. I listened to a lot of the local news stations, or radio stations, I should say, and they were all playing sun-themed songs and stuff like that. But it was really cool, again, like I said, to see everybody involved in this. Everybody was into it. It was really interesting to watch kids who were glued to their phones, looking up in awe and bonding with their family. I'm thinking, sure, that's cool. I'm not going to say nothing. So it's just really neat thing. And, you know, I also heard somebody mention that they hope that this inspires children. Get involved with science, because this is a really major event. And I hope that it does inspire people out there to have taken interest in astronomy or just science period, because we're really missing it. And since the space shuttle missions have pretty much come to a close, it's over with, it's tired. There's really no hero that we have to look up to at travel into space anymore. We don't get to celebrate that kind of thing. And, this kind of event, I don't know, maybe hopefully it inspires people to get up there and to look at these things and get out there and to learn about either animal behavior, animals or space. But again, like I said, there's a lot of stories already falling out about different weird things that supposed to happen. I don't know. To say that there's an increase in paranormal things or that, strange things were to happen. It's just basic science. The moon is always transiting around the planets. The sun is always there. These eclipses happen all the time. We just don't always get to see them. Partial eclipses, annular eclipses, all these things, it's very natural. It happens all the time. So I don't think the physics really just dictate anything major happening when this happens. And again, it's very small, very localized. NASA's already released a video of what it looked like from space, which was pretty cool. But again, it was just over a small portion of the United States. Didn't impact weather or anything like that. Didn't impact climate across the United States. There wasn't a dip in temperature, like a lot of people claim. I know for me, that was one observation I was thinking about, but I didn't really notice. But I can tell you that I had goosebumps anyway, and it was very hot down there. It was 90s, so I don't know if it got too cold or not. But I know that the sun was not beating that much, so that was one thing that changed. I want to jump to cryptid news, because this kind of sort of ties in with what we're talking about with the eclipse. And interesting thing, like I mentioned, I was going to go to Hopkinsville. It was on my list. I knew the story. Obviously, I'm into zoology, and I read about this, and it's kind of an interesting coincidence. And it's a coincidence that yesterday, August 21st, was the 62nd anniversary of the Kelly Hopkinsville encounter, or what is many times referred to as the Hopkinsville Goblins case. The story goes that the townspeople in Kelly, Kentucky, were looking for a way to make some money for the little town back in 2010 when they began digging through archives of the small town of 300 people. Just over 300 people. Now, this is when they found word of an event that took place back on August 21st, 1955. In this event, a small group of people, pretty much to summarize it, there was a small group of people at a farm. They purportedly encountered some aliens and began to shoot at them, because what else are you going to do? You're going to play chess? No, you're going to shoot them. They were odd-looking. They were your typical large-headed, short aliens. And, of course, you know, just load the shotgun and play, I don't know, shoot the alien. Now, police arrived a few hours, and all they saw was a barn and house full of bullet holes. But no aliens, no bodies, no ship, no saucer, green blood, no men in black, just shotgun holes. Now, the story was published the following day, and a lot of details were added later on, like the color green and all these other details. Now, the town had a Kelly Little Green Men Days Festival since 2010. This year, obviously, they expected big numbers, as the event not only took place on the 21st, which coincided with the total eclipse, but it was also in an area of totality and pretty close to the area where the peak amount of time of totality was going to happen, right there at the peak of the day. So the sun was at its highest. And so they expected a lot of people. And the first year that they had this event, there was about 1,500 people that showed up for the weekend festivities. But it was estimated that over 7,000 people visited the four-day festival, and that it was quite packed in that part of the state as well for the eclipse. I know I sat in traffic for the freeway that went in that direction. I decided to head straight south. Now, where I was at in Franklin, Kentucky, I was pretty much about less than an hour drive. It was about 55 miles to the east of Hopkinsville, and that would have really pretty much added another hour to my drive. That's why I decided just to head straight south to Franklin, which was in the zone of totality, which pretty much started there at Bowling Green, Kentucky, which was not too much further north, less than 20 miles. So I didn't want to, wasn't exactly halfway through the zone, which is about 35 miles in, because it's 70 miles across. So I was toward the top part there, and that was kind of part of my escape plan to get out of the area to get home. But for me, yes, a lot more traffic, a little bit of rush hour out of Louisville. I think it's Louisville. And it was just construction pretty much for me all the way home. That my kind of game plan, I was hoping to get home between 9:30, 10 p.m. Didn't get home till midnight. And I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I'm a little tired right now, but I don't know. I'm still on that eclipse high because it was just so, I know, so breathtaking. I thought about it all the way home last night. I told a lot of people today at work, and I was really excited. Everyone's like, did you see the eclipse? Yeah, did you? Oh, yeah, I saw this. We stared at our pool or whatever. They did all these weird things. I was like, yeah, well, I have to stare right at the moon. It was beautiful. So we have to wait. A little bit of wait. The next major U.S. total eclipse is in 2024, and that's sweeping from Texas to Maine, and it's going to go right through my backyard. So this year, that year, I should say 7 years from now, I won't have to travel unless it's cloudy here, which it takes place April 8th. Yeah, so Ohio. Yeah, could be snowing at it for all. It was a little cloudy here, I guess. I wasn't here, but Cleveland got a little rain a couple hours later. Very cloudy here. Cloudy in a lot of places. Florida, you wouldn't expect it. I heard New Mexico was cloudy as well. So I really lucked out my journey going to Kentucky. I'm a researcher. I like to plan things. I love to travel as well. So all these things for me that I like to do came in handy and helped enhance my experience. So I'll never forget this. I mean, I'm not a youngster anymore, getting up there in age. So I don't know. Maybe I won't be around 2024, the next big one that goes across the United States in 2045. I don't know. I'm not going to gamble on that one. So that's why I decided to really get behind this one and make an attempt to go out and see 2045. A little up there in age. So I don't know. And that one, the previous one on April 8th, 2024, it's on a Monday. So take an extra day off. And in case you're wondering, too, I had this conversation this morning about how close to Easter that is. Well, it's actually a week and a day after Easter. And the next major total eclipse to go across the continent will be 2045. That's a Saturday. Traffic is going to be rough. I don't know. Maybe we'll be flying by then. So have our hover cars or GPS control cars. Maybe traffic will flow a little bit better. Now put that on your calendar. This one is only 10,217 days away. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to put vacation days in for that yet. Maybe I'll. So Chicago Phantom, we're going to talk a little Chicago Phantom, a couple of stories. I didn't see too much pop up while I was out of town over the weekend, driving all over the place. Chicago Phantom, humanoid bat, owl, mothman, whatever you want to call it. What was that? And one report posted to Lon Strickler's Phantoms and Monsters blog last Tuesday, August 15th. This was after I was off the air. It's around 11 o'clock. I think I was tightly tucked into bed with this report. I hit the internet. And now this one was submitted to Manuel Navarrete at UFO Clearinghouse Center on a sighting that occurred back on August 7th at Grand Park in Chicago. A witness and a friend were attending the Lollapalooza concert and were heading back to their hotel when they saw what they thought was a giant bat. Wow. The two stated that the bat landed in front of them and they saw the large glowing red eyes. They stated they screamed, which got the attention of some other people that were in the area. They also purportedly saw it. Then the creature just flew away, leaving everyone dazed and confused. The witness gave their description as, quote, "The creature was approximately 7 feet tall and was completely black. It had a pair of red eyes that glowed, and when its wings spread open, it must have been 10 feet across. These wings did not look like they had feathers, but instead looked like what a giant bat's wings look like. It made no sound other than the sound of flapping once he got airborne." It looked under the wings there, just if it was a he, but once he got airborne, it was gone within 4-5 seconds. Unquote. Well, it wasn't quoted about the looking under the wings part. That was added in by myself, but it's just exciting there. And, well, just adds to the database. And, another report that was posted Saturday, August 19th. A possible sighting was reported that is thought to have happened back on July 1st of this year. The witness heard about the Chicago Phantom sightings through Lon Strickler's recent appearance on Coast to Coast AM. And the witness claims to have seen the creature at the Lost Marsh Golf Course in Whiting, Indiana. This location is just over the border of Illinois and there are a handful of other sightings of the creature just south of Chicago. And in this particular case, the witness was driving home with his wife and kids when he noticed two lights coming from the water area that was within the golf course. And I thought it was a little strange, not used to seeing red lights kind of hanging out of the water. So they thought that was strange. So no bat was seen, no creature was seen, just a pair of lights. But this encounter has been added to the ongoing list of Chicago Phantom flying humanoid sightings, which now, looking at the count, we're up to 38. Bonds up to 38 individual sightings. And if you have a link to the Google map that Lon Trickler has created, he updates it, and that link is good all the time. So if you get that link, which I'm going to throw that in the chat, once you have that link, good. You can just use that whenever. Well, that's it. Just those two sightings of the Chicago Phantom. It's slowing down. What's going on? Kind of was thinking that it's going to start picking up here. Now, a lot of people out watching the eclipse, I don't know what their – I think their weather was kind of crap yesterday up in Chicago. But summer's winding down. What do we got? Another 2 weeks? Just over a week. Well, yeah, 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks for Labor Day. And that's the unofficial unplugging of summer. We pack it up. We put it away. It goes back in the closet. And wait till next year, I guess. Wow, it's almost fall. It's depressing. I mean, I like fall. I like Halloween, all that stuff. But come on. Can't summer last forever? Well, I guess it can't. But we'll see what happens when the fall weather hits and it gets a little colder. And people aren't outside as much, or, you know, it's Chicago, so it's windy out there. So we'll see what happens moving forward fall and see if these sightings continue. It's interesting, especially now that Lon's gotten the story out there. It's appearing in the media in Chicago, coast to coast. Sure helped get that story out there. So we'll see if any other witnesses have already seen stuff come forward, or if people are going to start, you know, messing around with this thing. I hope not. We will see. And, well, just real quick, let you know, you're tuned into WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVradio.com, and you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brandon Parsons. We're talking cryptids. Still, one interesting story that I saw in the news, centered on Expedia. I'm sure you've seen Expedia before, the website, the travel website. They've got a little cool little thing they're doing here. And it's a map of strange creatures all over the world. And so far, you know, I was excited about this. I clicked on a link. I read about this. But so far, the map has various creatures. Let me throw that. I'm going to throw the link of the actual map into the chat room. You guys can check this. And it gets that part. So if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out on some great conversation. A lot of people are in there. Jim Mallard from the Mallard Report is in there. And you can hear the Mallard Report tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, TMR247.net. Great show. Very entertaining show. Very entertaining guy. A lot of other people in there too. And you gotta be careful. Dita's in there as well. And if you don't behave, she'll bounce you. She's the bouncer. Don't mess with her. Great conversation. You're also missing out on the links that I'm posting in here. And, yeah. Anyway, so back to this map. Strange creatures from Expedia. Again, so far the map only has a few creatures. And in the United States here, I should say North America, there's only two. Really need to update that. They had the Skinwalker, which is kind of cool, and Bigfoot. That's it. There's two. I could gladly take over the website and quite a bit more. Sure, Colin Schneider could add hundreds more. And when you click on the creature, there's a little box that pops up that says find out more. So you click on that link and you're taken to a page Which has got a really cool drawing of all these creatures on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, it tells you about that the creature. And there are little tabs at the top with that. And so it's a little menu there. And you click these little tabs on the menu, and it'll tell you if the creature is real. A little bit about the creature, the background of it. And then you can learn some of the sightings about these creatures as well. And then here we go, the Expedia part of it. Which, you know, I kind of thought it was going to be like shameful plugging on their part. It's actually really cool the way they do this. You click the last two tabs, and one is finding local hotels. But it's interesting the way they list the hotels and some of the stuff that to look for in the area. And then the last tab is find out how to fly into the area, and they describe the local airports and some of the travel information that you need to know. So I don't know. It's pretty cool. Expeditions through Expedia. Kind of a cool concept, cool idea. And so far, like I said, there's only 15 creatures total on the map, but it's a great concept and a very neat tie-in for this travel website. Really cool. I think it did a great job, and hopefully this is just on the beginning stages and continue to add more information to this. It's pretty cool. And here's another story. There you go, guys. Chew on that link. Throw that link in the chat room. So again, if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out. You get up-to-date information as to what's going on with these stories. Now, if you're not in the chat room, you are listening live. If you've downloaded the official WCJV app, which I recommend. If you haven't done it, do it. Not now. Save your bandwidth for the show. Write it down or save it in your favorites. And then after the show, go ahead and download it. And then go back and listen to Jim Mout on TMR247.net at 9 o'clock. But if you're listening otherwise, or you're listening to an archive of the show, that's just fine as well. And you want these links, the best thing you can do is just follow me on Facebook, Paranews Insider, facebook.com/Paranews Insider. Not hard to find. At Paranews Insider on Twitter. And those two are intermingled. They're linked together. So anything I post on the Paranormal News Insider Facebook site pops up on the Twitter feed as well. And I share all these links that I talk about Tuesdays throughout the week. So Wednesday on forward. And I try to get all the good stuff out of the way Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sometimes they're doubled up. I don't like I'm not going to shove 10 links down your throat every day, but just keep you informed as what's going on and give you some links maybe to stuff that you're not going to see pumped out elsewhere, but just kind of, again, inside information, some of these stories and where I do some of my research for these stories as well. And it's, you know, I don't want to pump out stuff before I talk about it because sometimes these stories evolve. Somebody asked me that question. Why do you wait till after the show to put up the links? Well, sometimes these stories evolve. And so as a whole, I kind of decided just to do it after the show. And it's also a way to trick you into coming into the chat room live, which I highly recommend because it's a lot of fun. You can ask questions. I don't really pay as much attention to the chat room as I should. But I got to be careful. Sometimes Dita puts up pictures of me, mustaches and stuff. So I kind of have to pay attention to what's going on there. So it's entertaining. It's fun. A great group of Walt's in there all the time. Cat Hobson's in there right now as well. So if you're not in there, you're missing out. Missing out. Wow, book of the week. We're already there. Book of the week. Well, you know, I did get to listen to, like I said, some great speakers this weekend. And I don't think I bought any books. I sold a couple books. Now I was going to do Michelle Bellinger's book. I've never done her review of her book yet. But I wanted to refresh it. I haven't read it since I bought it. So I didn't think that was fair to do that tonight. So tonight's book. Let me go find it. There it is. Ah, it's a big book. Heavy book. You could use this to hold open a door. It's thick. It's heavy. It's by a guy named Nick Redfern. I don't think I've done any Nick Redfern books at all. So this one is called The Bigfoot Book, The Encyclopedia of Sasquatch, Yeti, and Cryptid Primates by Nick Redfern. So I mentioned this Expedia website, which is really, really cool. I really like it. I was going to send it out to you, Colin. Forgot. I think you like that, but wasn't all that thorough. But this Bigfoot book, The Encyclopedia of Sasquatch, Yeti, and Cryptid Primates, again, it's an encyclopedia. So it has an alphabetical listing of people, places, and things that have to do with Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, different variations of the big hairy guy all over the world. Talks about the Patterson-Gimlin film. Flipping through this thing. It's huge. Lake Worth, Texas Monster. Hairy Men of the Old Mines. Gigantopithecus. Let's see. What do we got? I mean, this is a thick book. There's so much information here. Bullets and Bigfoot, Bridge-Based Encounters. Never heard of that before. Some really good, interesting stuff. And it's all over the world, too. So this isn't just the United States. It's a great encyclopedia of all sorts of things. And again, people. Ray Wallace is in here. And the W's, as you can tell. Brian Sykes. And just all sorts of different things that have occurred over the time. Over Tom Slick. Great chapter on that one. Yep. $6 Million Man. That was an interesting piece there. Singapore Sasquatch, all sorts of stuff. And it just goes on and on and on. And this book is huge. Like I said, it's over 380 pages. Yes. Bigfoot, Skunk Ape, Sea Beast, or Man. I'm not going to sing that earworm. This book came out in 2016. And if you are into Bigfoot research, Bigfoot investigation, highly recommend getting your hands on this book, getting your paws on this book, I should say. And let me think of something here. See, it came out on September 15th, 2015. Again, big, thick book. But again, I think it's a must-have. It's one of those top books. Got my hands on this book, and I thought, well, you know, I don't know. I know quite a bit about this stuff already, and I do refer to a couple of different UFO encyclopedia books, and I don't really own anything but the Lauren Coleman's got a semi-similar book to this, but you know, Nick Redfern's a great writer, a great researcher, so I enjoy his stuff. So I thought, well, you know what? My positive book, and it's really, really packed full of a lot of great information, and it is well worth it. Again, if you're into cryptozoology, maybe even not Bigfoot, still highly recommend this. A lot of tons of information that ties into all sorts of different methods. Well, obviously, it's especially Bigfoot guy, but there's a lot of people in here as well associated with the field. And 380 pages, it kind of reads fast, but it's very interesting to through. And if you don't know who Nick Redfern is, look him up and watch his videos. Great guy, extremely knowledgeable. Book is highly recommended looking at it on Amazon. So I don't know. I think you should check it out. The Bigfoot Book, The Encyclopedia of Sasquatch, Yeti, and Cryptid Primates. Looks like it's about $13. That's not bad. And it answers the question, you know, does a hulking, hairy, 800-pound, 9-foot-tall, elusive primate roam the woods and forests throughout North America and the world? A lot of information here that kind of puts it on perspective for you. lot of questions answered and different. Nick is author of over 30 books on monsters and unexplained mysteries, including Monster Files, Monster Diary, Memoirs of a Monster Hunter, and Strange Secrets. He's appeared on a lot of TV shows. There's just 70 TV shows, including the History Channel's Monster Quest, Science's The Unexplained Files, and the National Geographic Channel's Paranatural. Again, very, very knowledgeable guy. Great guy, too. If you ever get to meet him, personable. So that's the book of the week this week. Bigfoot book, The Encyclopedia of Sasquatch, Yeti, and Cryptid Primates. You know, I've been working on a trying to work on a website, a web page. I'm going to list all the books of the week instead of having to go through each individual show. It's a long process because let's see, how many shows have I done? I'm almost at 100 shows. I need a cake. I need a cake for that. Here on WCJV, I've done, this is number 97. So when I started here on WCJV, I started doing the Book of the Week segment. Just figured it would tie in the educational aspect, the educational piece, on top of telling you the stories or explaining these things to you guys. That's a lot of books to reference. A lot of them. Also magazines. Enjoy doing this. Enjoy bringing you my weekly book report on all things strange and anomalous. It's a lot of reading. It's a lot of time to do it, but I love reading, researching all this information. It's really coming down. Rain is, so if you've been, wow, stormy out. Well, that's great that the rain held off till today. Yes. Lost my spot here, so. Wow. Well, also want to mention, I kind of mentioned this. The Paranormal News Insider and the rest of WCJV Digital Broadcasting can be heard not just here live on WCJVRadio.com, also on the WCJV app. Available on iOS and Android devices. So you can go to the App Store or Google Play Store, download the apps. I highly recommend that. You can hang out and chat on your phone. And WCJV can now be found on iHeartRadio and iTunes. It's also available on SoundCloud, MixCloud, YouTube, and a lot of other places because everybody has their own tastes. I get that. And we get that here at WCJV. So we're trying to bring you a variety of ways to listen. So we can, you know, we can help you out. It's nice to give you different places to listen to. It's kind of a symbiotic relationship here. So hope you enjoy the shows in the network. And again, we got new stuff coming up. Arcane Radio soon. Very excited about that. And didn't really talk too much about Paranormal Conferences conventions. There are some coming up this fall. Actually touring around. I was getting involved in a event early next year. And sounds like one might be happening next fall that I'll be involved in. But I got a few more coming up this fall yet. Ugh. Fall. Can't believe it's coming already. Okay. Yes. But anyway. If you have any information about any paranormal event, and I don't have it listed, I do have a list. If you go to paranewsinsider.com, click on the events tab. At the top, you can see all the events. I have them broken down by ghost events, cryptid events, and UFO events. That's based on the majority of the speakers, the presenters, what that conference or convention is geared more toward, where I kind of put it in the list. I mean, granted, some of them have, multiple speakers on different things. I know some of these spoken UFOs or have spoken on cryptids. But if you don't see the event that you're going to or that you're putting on and you want to see it on that list, let me know. Email me at insider@paranewsinsider.com, or there's also a form on the website, paranewsinsider.com, contact tab. Let me know. I'll talk about it. I'll put it on the website when I get time. I know there's a couple that are hanging around for a couple of days. Really, honestly, I don't have time to update the site, but I'll get to it as soon as I can. Probably tomorrow. I'm tired. So, wait, got this. Made this right before the show, so this looks cool. This is, I know I did an eclipse-based little thing at the end of the show, so I do have these little pictures at the end of every episode. So I had to do an Ozzy Osbourne Don't Stop Believin' little meme type thing. So huge thanks to Cindy, my producer. Had a little hiccups earlier in this episode. Had to redo it a couple of times. Got some rehearsal down the episode. She does a lot of hard work behind the scenes to make all of us here on WCTV sound a little bit better than what we really do. Huge thanks to her, all the work she does. Dita for patrolling the chat room in there, keeping everyone else in order. And everyone else out for tuning in tonight. Highly appreciated. I know you're listening. I see the stats. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Everybody tuning in, live or otherwise, thank you very much. I honestly, truly, truly appreciate it. And again, you can listen to Paranormal News Insider and the rest of WCJV Digital Broadcasting on the WCJV app. Download it. Do it in 2 minutes. And remember, I'll be here next week. I'll see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons, reporting.